Okay, it is 1:30. Good. So let's get started. Excellent. So this talk is about data tier applications and SQL Server. And my name is Bob Boschman. I work for a company called SQL Skills. I'm their developer. So if you've heard of Paul Randall or Kimberly Tripp, that's SQL Skills. And I'm the person that you don't know because I'm the developer. They all do database, lovely administration stuff. This is a developer and database administrator product. So we'll see, how many people like this. So just as a starting point, and this is one of the reasons why I was glad the lights were on, how many people have heard of data tier applications or have used them before? Okay, so I didn't hear any boos when I said that. If you thought you knew what data tier applications were, or you started with data tier applications and you didn't like them in version 1.0, it's totally much different now. And for one thing, in version 0, they supported a subset of database objects. They now support the entirety of database objects in SQL Server and SQL Azure. Secondly, in version 1.0, they actually did the upgrade in a strange way. They do the upgrade in place starting about a month after version 1.0. So if you thought you knew what you were coming to hear, you're not going to be hearing it. If you've worked with this, and I was surprised, there's a lot of people that are working with this, this is great. The premise is that suppose you're going to go deploy something that has to do with an application, and it's a web application. And you work in a big company, and it's not only a web application, but it's the 20th web application that week. How do you deploy everything that you need to get? So you need a certificate, you put it on the box. You need a piece of software, or you install it with an MSI file. You need a database, so that's a whole other story altogether. So the idea with this is you would make this as part of a deployment that you can do yourself, or you can script. You can get the database administrator involved, or not. And basically, this is the MSI file of database development. Really. So I'm going to talk about the whole thing. Oh, that's way too much about me. Okay, good. It has all that stuff. So let's go through, again, the agenda is that data tier applications have gone through three versions. The version that you're using is dependent on the tool that you use with that version, unless you're scripting. If you're scripting, there are two different DLLs. The version that you're using depends on the DLL that you're using as well. And so what I want to do is just go through all the things you can use it for and all the tools that handle it. All right, so first some terms. So the term DAC is not an acronym for data tier application, but when they made this acronym up in SQL Server land, somebody decided that, DTA is actually Database Tuning Advisor, so we can't use that, and apparently forgot that DAC in SQL Server means Dedicated Admin Connection. And so this has nothing to do, if you came to a talk about the Dedicated Admin Connection, you're in the wrong place, right? But I did spell it out rather than do the acronym, so nobody should be leaving now? Good. Okay. So DAC is the term that encompasses all the other names and all the other concepts. Now, they've always had sort of publicized the API for this. And so the API for this, which you can write in PowerShell, you can write in C#, you can write however you'd like, is called DACFX, the DAC framework. So the DAC framework DLLs. There are two DAC framework DLLs, the old one and the new one. And I'll tell you what the names of them are when I get to that slide. I can tell you them now, but you won't remember when we get to that slide. Okay. The DAC pack, I don't know who makes up these acronyms. The DAC pack is actually a packaged version of a database schema. That's really what it is. And you can put the database schema in place. The premise with the DAC pack is you always start as though you have an empty database. You're always creating things. You're never altering things. Anybody out there a database administrator whose database consists of one great big create script from 10 years ago and 100 alter scripts? Right? You don't have to do that anymore, right? Because what this is a script that represents your entire database, and if you want to use it to upgrade an existing database to look like that, what it will do is it will, they have a feature in it, that will actually generate a diff script for you. And if you're a database administrator and you don't trust diff scripts generated by a machine, because database administrators usually don't, it can actually put out that diff script and you can look at it and tweak it if you want to. Oh, this should really come before this, or I like everything in alphabetic order. You know, that's fine. So DACPAC is really a file format that contains a script, or a set of XML, really. I'll show you the file format, that it will make a script for you. And the best analogy of a DACPAC is really an MSI, for a database schema. And it's an MSI that only does creates. It doesn't do, you know, drops and alters and all that stuff. Again, it will generate a diff script on the fly against it. Now, in addition, somebody realized a while ago that SQL Azure has no backup, right? And the reason for the idea of having no backup is because anybody ever try to restore a backup from SQL Server 2012 to SQL Server 2008? Doesn't work, right? Backup format is directly connected to the version of the database that you're using. Well, riddle me this. What version is SQL Azure today? Does it start with 11? Is it 11 Service Pack 1? Is it 11 before Service Pack 1? What is it? And so therefore, they didn't want to get into that whole issue about what version is SQL Azure. And so they thought, well, we're not going to use backup, but we're going to have something that we can use to back up the database and restore the database, or the, you know, moral equivalent thereof. Now, this is not a transactional backup. And so what they said is, we'll use this DAC system to represent the schema, and then if you want the data as well, we'll drag it along in, of course, the world's lovely format that everybody uses today, JSON. So it's compressed JSON format backup. And they call this schema and data together the BACPAC. So I don't know who makes up these acronyms, right? So you have a DAC, which I understand what that is, and now if you want to carry your data along, you carry it in your BACPAC. Either somebody marketing did this, or, you know, somebody was drunk one night. Okay, so anyway, sorry, I didn't say that. Strike that from the record. Okay, so it's the file format that they use, and it's basically the DAC plus the data. Okay, great. So what does it do? What's the point? Well, the thing that it does is that you can build a DACPAC, which again is an MSI file, from a set of Transact SQL scripts, and you do this through SQL Server Data Tools. Everybody familiar with the Data Tools? That's the actual free tool that comes with SQL Server 2012. Everybody uses it. It supports all the databases back to 2005, and they emit backpack, or sorry, DACPACs. It's a developer, it's a design tool, so they do DACPACs, but they also emit DACPACs if you want to be able to do that. So you can take in a set of SQL scripts, and I will do demos, right? This is just the fun part, or the interesting explanation part. Take in a set of SQL scripts and make a DACPAC. Okay. Or you can take an existing database and make a DACPAC. And in fact, when you develop with SQL Server Data Tools, and by the way, this can become a DBA tool too as time goes on, if you develop with SQL Server Data Tools, it emits a BACPAC, or I'm sorry, DACPAC. Goodness, I'm getting acronym bingo here. Okay, you can deploy a DACPAC to a new database. So if you want to take a DACPAC and you want to deploy it to SQL Azure, you just go up to Azure and you say, deploy me a database, and it makes an empty database. You can incrementally upgrade a database. So if you're a developer or you're a DBA and you have database version 1.0 and database version 1.1 and you want to update 1.0 to 1.1 over 60 machines, then you can just run the thing 60 times and it'll upgrade the database. And again, it does incremental upgrade for those people that thought they knew DACPAC in version 1.0, incremental upgrade. You can export a BACPAC from an existing database. This is mostly used in SQL Azure land, but I had somebody that was actually, I'm not sure I can say this. I had somebody that was taking data from SQL Azure and bringing it into a real SQL Server database on-premise. Or, I'm sorry, an ordinary SQL Server database on-premise. Can I get away with that? Okay. And I said, send me a backup. And the guy sends me a backpack. And it's like, oh, what do I do with this? Well, Management Studio knows what to do with a backpack. So that's cool. So it's a export a backpack from a database, import a backpack into a new database. You can't import a backpack part of it into an existing database. It has to be an empty database. You can also do schema comparison. So one of the nice things about the data tools that I thought DBAs would like is that it can do schema comparison between a DACPAC and a DACPAC, a DACPAC and a database, a DACPAC and a set of scripts that you make a project out of, and it can compare those, which is nice. And then it can sync the two databases together, if you'd like it to do that, schema-wise. And again, this is all done with the database development tools that I'm going to show you soon. So what's the point? The point is to provide a set of services around SQL Server for database extraction and packaging. The file formats are SQL Server version independent. So I could have took that backpack and I could have restored it to 2012 or 2008, as long as it doesn't have anything that doesn't, you know, go with the version, right? If it had sequences, I couldn't restore it to 2008 or 2005. And it's the same format all along, which is great. So if you're going to do something like upgrade your database, besides taking a backup, it might be nice to take a backpack just in case. Okay. DAC features enable managed application lifecycle. Everybody does application development one way and database development another way. And now we can do database development like we do application development. When you do database development with the data tools, you do build, sure. And schema and data portability. It's supposed to be a portable format. So what problem does it solve? Well, as you can tell, there's starting to become a lot of different SQL Server versions. And I don't know if you've gone to or if they have any at this conference talk about the appliances. But there's appliances for things, there's on-premise for the things, there's cloud for the things. And so it's meant to sort of simplify deployment, to read my own slide, over different feature sets and different transact SQL dialects. For example, there are transact SQL dialects that have to do with spatial indexes that aren't supported in 2008 but are supported in 2012. And also SQL Azure versus SQL Server. If you've ever tried to do things from SQL Azure to SQL Server, some of the same DDL still works, but it doesn't have all the same options. Some of the options that are in Azure aren't in SQL Server. So it would be nice to have something that's able to abstract over the entire set of things that we have now, cloud, on-premise, and goodness, appliances. So that's what it's meant to solve. And also, one of the nice things that it does, but not the only thing, is that you can migrate a database out to Azure or back to SQL Server. Okay. So here's the ransom note slide. It's a really nice slide. I shouldn't complain about it at all, but this is, you can do a lot of stuff with SQL Azure. So I actually thought I would do this talk by actually tracing these things, but you know, you can download the slides. You have the slide as good as I can. Let me see if I can cram more demos in here. Is everybody okay with that? If they aren't, if I have extra time at the end, you can go look at this slide again, and you'll know what all this stuff is. Okay. So let's go through the history of the DAC, just because, again, if you thought you knew what you were talking about, maybe you didn't. So DAC 1.0 is a SQL Server-specific feature, and it actually came out with SQL Server 2008 Release 2, and that is the first version of SQL Server Management Studio that supports it. They will support it against 2005 databases, but they won't upgrade Management Studio to support it. So that was the first one, DAC 1.0. They also made up a specific DAC project in Visual Studio for this. You don't want to use this project. You really do want to use, SQL Server Data Tools right now. And what they made it up for was something called the SQL Server Utility. Anybody use the SQL Server Utility? Let me show you the SQL Server Utility. Okay, so good. I've got something to do here. So in SQL Server Management Studio, I'm unhappy. I just moved all my VMs to SSD, and it's like they ought to come up faster than that now. Okay, so if I go into the Utility Explorer, the SQL Server Utility was a way to have a instance of a database that kept track of other instances of other databases. And notice that what it'll do is it'll give you a nice dashboard over here. And notice what it looks at over here. Oh, goodness. Forgive me, mistake number one of the day. I didn't have my Zoomit thing up. That's one off for you. Okay, good. So if I zoom in over here, thank you. Notice that it looks at instances, and it also looks at data tier applications. So to make it show up in this utility, you had to add your database as a data tier application. And I'll show you how to do that in SQL Server Management Studio. That was the original use for the DAC. And in fact, if you look at data tier applications, it would actually show you different things about those applications. Now, people that didn't like the DAC because it doesn't support all the features, notice one of the database I have in there now is called Spatial Samples. It has geography data types, it has .NET assemblies in it, it has everything in the world. So as of right now, version 3, and I'm doing this in SQL Server 2012 Management Studio, the DAC pack supports all of the objects in SQL Azure and all of the objects in SQL Server. So I can even put the spatial database with the million .NET assemblies in there. I make up my own .NET assemblies for spatial. And so therefore, there is no limit to what you can do now. Good, trip over your own stuff. And what the DAC used to do is it allowed you to, or I'm sorry, the utility used to do, or does, is it allows you to look at CPU utilization and things. The premise is, in a virtualization environment, you might want to have a bunch of different virtual machines, and you might want to move a database from one to the other. And if this machine is crowded, we might want to move it over there, that kind of thing, right? And so you can look at up to 25 instances in this. Is everybody impressed? That's the last you'll see of the utility. Ain't gone. Okay. I mean, it's still around. But that was the original use for it. Now, I said, when they introduced the DAC, the way they used to update through the DAC, and so I can skip this slide when it comes up, is that they used to make a copy of the database, copy all the data from one database to the other, and then rename the databases. Nobody liked that. So in version 1.1, which is about 2 months later, they make it do an upgrade in place and generate a diff script, which everybody likes a lot better. Now, we can go into for ages what it does if this column doesn't exist or this table doesn't exist or this table changed the data type of this column. We won't do that. DAC 2.0 was actually for SQL Azure. And so now they had two uses, one use for it. Now let's use it for Azure. And so in 2.0, it supports all of the objects in SQL Azure, which are still a subset of objects, database objects I'm talking about. And it also supports the backpack format. So the backpack was added in 2.0. This gets to be important later on, right? It sounds like history, but this gets to be important later on because it's not all synced up to everything that does the same version. In fact, if you try and put a 3.0 DAC into a SQL Server 2008 release to SSMS, it doesn't like it. So you do have to know which version. 3.0 is the holy grail, right? 3.0 is the one where it supports everything, all the database objects in the world, and it can work with anything. And it has object support for 2005 and above, and also for SQL Azure. And it actually has some, which you won't see in some of the tools, but you will in other of the tools, has a lot of options to allow you to do things across these kinds of SQL servers. Everybody good with that? Because I'm going to talk about 3.0 and 2.0 and 1.0 later on. Not very much, though, just so you know. So here's the consumers of this product. DAC 3.0 is used by SQL Management Studio 2012. They will never upgrade SSMS 2008 Release 2 to use it. So if you want the full fidelity stuff, you want to use at least the tools for 2012. Also, SQL Server Data Tools. They will not upgrade the DAC project to use it either. So if you're using the DAC project now, get SQL Server Data Tools tomorrow, right? They're free. Okay, and SQLPackage.exe is a command line tool because DBAs have a problem with installing GUI tools on a database server, and who can blame anybody, right? And so SQL Package is actually a command line tool that will allow you to do all this on a command line. If you have server core, it works fine there. And basically, there is an API for this. So if you don't like SQL Package, which does, 90% of the stuff, then you can use the API, which does 100% of the stuff. One of the things that SQL Package, for example, will not do is restore a backpack. So if you want to restore a backpack, you would actually have to write PowerShell, and we get to that. Well, then shut up, Bob, and get to it. Okay. SQL Server DACFX is also used by the SQL Azure Management Portal. And here's the rub. I'm not allowed to talk about futures. Right now, the SQL Azure Management Portal is using a release 2 DAC pack, right? Soon. Okay. I'm not allowed to talk about futures, but I think I can say the word soon. Okay. SQL Azure Import-Export Service. The Import-Export Service is nice because although they use 2.0 now, the Import-Export Service uses a REST API over that service. So when it uses 3.0, you don't have to change the REST API. It just works, right, which is way cool. Okay. That's for import-export of a backpack. And then the SQL Server utility you already saw. And in 2012, it's based upon DAC 3.0, which means it's full fidelity. Great. So let's start. I assume most people are database administrators. Bad assumption. How many people are database administrators? Not a bad assumption at all. Okay, good. So I'm going to start with the tool everybody knows, which is SQL Server Management Studio. Now, SQL Server Management Studio will do DAC stuff and backpack stuff, but it doesn't have all of the options that you do if you actually use the API. So let's go through the DAC stuff in SQL Server Management Studio 2012. So we'll bring up 2012 again. Come on, SSD. It's supposed to come up immediately. Oh, that's not bad. All right. And we'll get rid of the utility, because I don't want to be confused. I'm very easily confused. And we'll connect to a database engine on my local machine. There we go. So the first thing I could do is, in the Databases tab, I can right-click on the Databases tab, and I have two things to do. This, like I said, was the one that saved me when somebody sent me a backpack in mail. I can import a data tier application. An imported data tier application, when you do it, actually asks you for, if I can get past the splash screen, well, I don't even need to, ask you for a backpack file. And so these guys sent me like a 5 gigabyte backpack file. It is not as fast as a restore on SQL Server, but it's fast enough and it's version independent. Good. So I could actually take a backpack from 2012 and restore it to 2005, which is something you can't do now, right? Okay. So I'm actually not going to do this just for the sake of time, but well, so let's do it. If I go one more into this, it says I can either get the backpack from a local disk or I can import it from Windows Azure Storage. And if I go and select Windows Azure Storage, then I have to give it a container name and a URL. And I'll do that later on. But import it from local disk works easily, so let's do that. And it has to be an empty database, so do I have one that's interesting over here that's called something nice? No, I destroyed all my backpacks because I thought I didn't need them. So I have the world's collection of backpacks. Again, this is a restore, so I probably have to be talking while this happens. Goodness, let's see. Tech Ed, sorry. There we go. There's backpacks and backpacks. So here's a backpack called pubsdac.backpack. Oh, that database already exists. Okay, so let's see if I can restore it to a different name. We'll go here, and it says what the new database name is, and so we'll call it pubsdac 7 for, I don't know, I don't have pubsdac 1 through 6, but that's okay. And notice that this restores, somebody noticed this last time I did this talk, this restores to the default place where SQL Server puts files, but you can tell it to put the files any place you want, right, the log file and the data file. Okay, great. So it restores. So as it's restoring, let's go do something else. So the second thing you can do from the Databases tab is deploy a data tier application. So if you deploy a data tier application, you can choose to deploy it to another database or to a SQL Azure database. If you deploy it to a SQL Azure database, it asks you for an intermediate backpack location, because you could probably guess that deploy means make a backpack and then put it up there. Sure. Okay, great. Deploy a data tier application. And it'll actually deploy, actually deploys the schema, right? The other import imported the data. Okay. Now let's go on to any database in the world. So let's go in and choose, goodness, the pubsdac database. Notice my restore is already finished. And remember, this is not a restore. It's not a transactional backup. The way you back these up in SQL Azure is you actually make a copy of the database, which is a transactionally consistent copy, and then make a backpack out of that. So that's the way you make these in Azure if you want transactionally consistent. Otherwise, it's just a copy of the tables, right? Okay, so let's go to any database, and under tasks, now we have a whole bunch of DAC-specific stuff. We can extract a data tier application. What extract means is make me a DAC pack. So make me something that has the schema in it. I don't care about the data, just the schema. Deploy database to SQL Azure, you could probably guess what that does. That's not hard. Export data tier application. I always get these verbs confused. Extract, well, let's do it. One of them does a DAC pack and the other one does a backpack. And I'll remember what the verbs are soon. Okay, so extract says it's going to make a DAC pack. Okay, export says we're going to make a backpack that has the data in it, right? So tasks export, and when I do export, it says that it will make a backpack file, right? So even I don't get confused, right? Although I was just then. Good, Bob. The next thing it'll do, besides that, is you can register something as a data tier application if it already isn't registered as a data tier application. Why would you do that? You do that if you want to keep track of database versions, because the DAC is actually a versioning scheme, and you'll do that if you want to use the SQL Server utility. So if I say register as a data tier application, let's just take a different one at random, the credit database, and under task we'll register as a data tier application. It asks me what I want the version number to be. And so basically what you have done is you have just put your database schema under, of course it's not writing to version control system, but you've made version control out of it. And then you can go and it stores this information in MSDB or in master in SQL Azure, and you can see what you've done to this database over time. That's the idea with the version number. So you know how you have version one of an application and it has all your web page and all this? Well, this is version one of your database. And then when you change your web pages or your database, you can have different version numbers and a description of what you did. This does show up someplace else in Management Studio, which I want to show you in a second. There we go. And my last thing that I can do from here is I can upgrade a data tier application. An upgrade is exactly what it means. I have a DAC pack, I have a database. The DAC pack is not the same as the database. I want to make the database look the same as the DAC pack. And so we use that to generate a diff script. In fact, let's try that. I don't have a DAC pack for these, but let's do it with this. So we'll do that. We'll go through and we'll upgrade. And there we go. And it says, where's your DAC pack? And I think I have one someplace. Oh, let's upgrade pubs DAC to pubs. That'll be interesting. Okay, pubs DAC is the, what does this say? The upgrade cannot continue because the application name does not match the deployed DAC. All right, smarty. So we'll make it, it knows about the application name there. So we'll make it do pubs DAC, which means I should have exported one, or I'm sorry, extracted one. Did I do that? I probably have one here. Okay. There we go. Too many backpacks around. And by the way, if you're in Management Studio, you might have noticed that there's a nice folder there called DAC packages. And so if it's not in here, there we go. Pubs, no, still not in here. It might be in there. No. Okay. Anyway, that's what I can do with that. I can upgrade. And then it says, it'll make me a script. And then it says, do you want to continue or do you want to save the script? Most database administrators I know, at least for the first 50 times they do this, want to look at the script. So then you can look at the script, right? And you might not want to do it that way. And you can choose not to if you don't want to. Everybody okay? That's where I was going with that dialog box. Okay, good. And then there is one last thing, which is if I really don't want to have my thing registered anymore as a DAC, you can delete the data tier application. That does not delete the database in version 3. All it does is just say, this isn't part of my application anymore, therefore I won't keep track of it in the tables in MSDB. There was an option in version 1 that it would actually delete the DAC pack and delete the database. It doesn't do that either. Everybody okay with that idea? Okay, great. So what's this magical thing, these tables and stuff in MSDB? So let's take a look in for that. I have some, there's not very many tables. I have some queries against those tables. There we go. And we'll bring them up in Management Studio. And good. And basically there are two tables. And again, in SQL Server, they live in MSDB, so I'm in SQL Server. If I were in Azure, they would live in master. So that's why I have the use master for that. So basically, this is just a list of instances of the DAC. So these are the ones that currently are registered as DACs, and my version number and all that good stuff. And then here's the history of all the DAC stuff that I ever did with something. So no history? Really? There should be history in there. Okay, and then I can do a join to be able to see the history against the internals. And why isn't there history? I'm not happy at all. Okay, we still don't have that history. I don't know why that history isn't there. Good. I'm not allowed, by the way, to ruin any more demos or else I have to shave my head. That's the rule. Okay, but that's the idea, is that you have the history and you have the internal database. That's another reason why you want to back up MSDB before you do anything stupid like I just did. Okay. So it keeps track of this stuff inside the database itself. Everybody okay with all the stuff that you can use in 2012 Management Studio? Notice that we didn't have a whole lot of options in Management Studio. And if you want options, there's other products that provide you with more options. They might sift those more options in Management Studio. So if I have a database and I never did DAC pack before, how do I create a DAC pack? Well, with 2008 release 2, you just saw how I could do it. Extract data to your application, and it will create for me a DAC pack. It'll also check in previous versions, which it will not in this version, to make sure that you don't have any objects that aren't supported by the DAC. In 3.0, all objects are supported by the DAC. Great. Now, there is also a way to create a DAC pack from SQL package if you don't like GUI, right? That's a command line tool. Or you can use the DACFX API and script PowerShell over it, which I'm going to show you at the end of the talk. So you can do anything that you could do from DAC, you can do in PowerShell. DAC 3.0 has also been added to SQL Server Data Tools. So SQL Server data tools are in Visual Studio Professional Plus, Visual Studio 2012, and let me just make you a Visual Studio data tools project really fast. There we go. Remember, I'm not allowed to ruin any more demos. Okay, new project. And I've installed the data tools in the old project too, so if you get confused because you have both of them installed at the same time like I do, then it's under Other Languages SQL Server now. It used to be under Database. Notice there's a Database tab there. Don't go there, right? That's the old projects. Okay, so here's a new project. We'll call it Database 9 because I have no imagination. Okay, and we'll create a project. Great, what is that? Nothing, it's an empty project. So now what can I do with this project? Well, let's import some things. So into this project we can import, and we have a choice of three things. We can import a DAC pack. So the database administrator gets a DAC pack from a database, and she gives you the DAC pack, and you put it in SQL Server data tools, and you start your development. This is good when you're first starting off. It's also good if database administrators, I don't know if you guys do, will put in extra indexes on things that weren't there before when the developers were developing it, and so you may want the latest DAC pack, that's fine too. If you can connect to the database and have enough privileges, and the privileges for this are pretty minimum, then you can actually connect to the database and suck in all the definitions of all the objects. You can do that. Or if the database administrator has a canonical SQL Server script, you can actually get this from a script. So what I'm going to do in this case is I'm going to get one from a database. So we'll import, we'll connect right to the database. Let's use the pubs database because then I can get really confused. There we go. And then we'll import that. Notice that with SQL Server data tools, there's a lot more options of things that you can do with this than there is in Management Studio. So I can import permissions, I can import database settings, and I want to import the permissions too. So there we go. It's going to connect to the database and import all this stuff. Now, once you've imported this, what you're importing is not the data, but the schema. So what I have now is a version of the schema. Great, it all worked. I have a version of the schema over here in a project. Notice if you haven't seen this tool before, the project actually surfaces things in SQL files, and so there is a combination GUI SQL designer. If you like GUI, you can get rid of this half. If you like SQL, you can get rid of this half. If you like both, you can leave it the way it is. Okay, enough about the tool. All right, so once you've done that, I can also do something in this tool. So this is goodness under SQL. By the way, if you install both projects, you'll get a tab for data and a tab for SQL. It's the SQL one that you want with SQL Server database tools. Okay, the data one is the one left over. Okay, so new schema comparison. And notice if I do a schema comparison, I have a source and a destination or a target. And basically your source can be, select source, the source can be a project, so I'm going to compare this project to a database, or a database itself, so if I have access to a database, I can compare this database with that database, or I can bring in a DAC pack and compare the DAC pack to this project. Say I want to make sure that the database administrator hasn't, put in any indexes or changed or dropped any indexes, I could do a comparison to make sure that I'm up to date. Hopefully we just all put this under version control someday and everything is fine. Okay. No, so the question was, can you use backpacks instead of DAC packs anywhere? And no, if you have a backpack, you would want to restore it to something and then get a DAC pack out of it. Because again, backpack includes data, DAC pack is metadata. But yeah, you're right, really. Backpack is a superset of DAC pack. But having said that, let's do one more version thing. Remember, I'm trying not to do versions. They said versions would be confusing. Right now, Backpack does not support all of the SQL Server objects. It supports all the SQL Server objects that are supported by SQL Azure. Here's the one I did. So suppose I have a database with an assembly in it, right? I would like to make a backpack that contains the assembly to move the assembly and the data over to something else. That doesn't work yet, right? So backpacks are really now, although they're version 3, they're at the functionality of SQL Azure. Okay, which is fine because all you're usually doing, unless you're me, is restoring tables, right? Tables work just fine. Okay, so having said that, they're not an exact superset. Everybody okay with that? Good, I'm not confusing people with way too many versions. Okay, and so I can compare, again, a DAC pack against a DAC pack and the five other combinations. Is it five? No, if there's three, that's 3 to the 2nd power. That's 8 different combinations of things I can compare. Great. In this project also, if I'm a developer, now I'm a developer, right? Those are the other people that didn't raise their hands. if I want to actually take a snapshot of the project. So suppose I'm doing some development, I want to take a snapshot before I start. If I take a snapshot, notice what it makes me is a DAC pack. So if I get really off on a tangent and decide, no, these changes aren't really good and I want to restore the project back to where it was before, then I can restore the project with a DAC pack. Or I can actually compare a DAC pack from that project, from that snapshot with the database. You know, so how far off am I now with the real database? Is everybody okay with that? Notice they use it here for everything. Okay. Now, when you deploy one of these projects, remember this is metadata only. SQL Server data tools do not deploy data. They deploy metadata right now. So if I go look at, and I don't know what the future is. So if I go here and I'm going to deploy, notice the deployment will actually make me a DAC pack file by default. I can also choose to have it create a SQL script file, and I can actually look at some of the properties of the DAC pack file. There's not very many of them. There they all are, the version that I want the DAC pack to be. Everybody okay with that? Okay, I cannot make a DAC pack from SQL Server data tools because they deal in metadata, not data. And if I really want a script file from a DAC pack, then I can get that. That's a couple slides on, so I should probably stop here and go back to the slides to catch myself up. Everybody good with what we're doing so far? Is this going too fast or too slow? Let me speed up and talk faster. Okay. So, permitted objects, there's a set of permitted objects. Again, if you thought you knew what it did, switch to DAC version 3 and they permit everything. Remember that the backpack is still at version 2, so all the Azure compatible objects. The only one where I run into trouble is extended properties or, SQL assemblies. Okay. And version 1.0 and 1.1 were the ones where people didn't like the subset of objects. Looks like a fairly decent subset of objects. People said, what about service broker? Okay, yeah, there's no service broker yet. Okay, it is now, right? Data tier application elements. So, oh good, this gives me a choice to look inside a DAC pack. So I was told at one point, and I believed, that the DAC pack was a zip file. And so if you really had trouble with it or you wanted to look inside it, you could just rename it to something.zip and you could look inside it. And it turns out that's not exactly true, right? It's not quite a zip file because let's take one of those DAC packs, and I have one over here. And this is a DAC pack, and by the way, this is DAC history, right? I have DAC packs from every version and every tool, right? But let's take one 3.0 that just got emitted from SQL Server data tools, and what I did was I did pubs.dacpack over here. Let's rename it back, stop, rename it back to DAC pack again. There we go, rename it back to DAC pack again. Talking faster will not get you done sooner. There we go. Okay, and now they actually put in a shell, that I happen to have in Spanish here. Okay, a shell extension. I don't know why the shell is doing this because if I go to, watch this, if I go to a different, never mind, if I go to a different directory, it's in English, right? So here's a DAC pack, and if I click on the, this is .zip too. If I click on the DAC pack over in this directory, fun with Windows, I just noticed this when I was, okay, there we go. Oh, that's the actual zip file? What's wrong with your problem there? It's actually in English. Sorry? Oh, I see, so I couldn't name it the same name. Oh, stupid me, right? I don't know what, so let's look at this one then, Bob. Don't look at the zip file then. Let's look at this one. Oh, that one doesn't say open either. What did I just do? I messed up. Anyway, there's a DAC pack right here. Oh, it's still in Spanish. Okay, well, never mind. Somehow my machine is now in Spanish. Okay, but anyway, this is a shell extension. If you unzip it, so let's go back to my original one because this shows what I want to show. If I just unzip it, notice that this is the unzip version of it. I get some stuff in here that talks about the data model, the original database, the DAC metadata, and something called current types. But if I actually run it through the Spanish shell extension, and it works the same way with the English shell extension, right? I wonder if it gives me a SQL script with Spanish comments in it. That'd be cool. There's the model.sql, and notice what it did is it generated a SQL for you. It generates a script. So it only generates a script when you run it through the unpacker, right? The DAC pack does not contain a script, right? And why shouldn't it contain a script? Well, it's going to contain this model.xml, which is the big one, and actually, why don't you just show the model.xml? The model.xml, he said, is actually the XML format of the database, and that's in English, that's good, because I can only speak one language. And that's the metadata. Suppose I wanted to upgrade with that. Well, that means they'd have to make an upgrade script. Suppose I wanted to install it. Well, that means they'd have to use the same thing to make a create script. So they don't have a script. They will make a script on the fly. And by the way, if you really want to, you can invoke the unpacker in PowerShell as well, right? And that works just fine, too. Everybody okay with that? So it contains metadata only. Now, you can do that same thing with a backpack, but there's no unpacker for a backpack. So if you go do that for a backpack, which I think I did, let's go right here. I got backpacks. And let's name that to zip. You're not supposed to do this, right, because there's no unpacker. There we go. But if you do that, because you're obnoxious like I am, and then you extract it all, there we go, what you end up getting is a bunch of stuff that looks like a backpack plus a directory called data. And when you look in the data, there's one for every table. And if you look at that, there's something in compressed JSON format. Everybody okay with that? You get the idea. But what I want to point out with all this junk is that a DACPAC is not a zip file, okay? It's a file which you can unzip and has all the right information from it, but if you run it through the unpacker, it gets different stuff. Okay, he said. Good. And apparently this package goes by a standard that they told me about called the Open Package Standard, so it's an OPC package as well. Now, before 3.0, but they didn't carry this into 3.0 and they're thinking about it, they used to have something called a server selection policy. And the idea is that you could make up this extra file called a server selection policy that would allow you to determine which version of SQL servers this would be good for. So, for example, suppose you have a heterogeneous shop where you have a bunch of 2005s, a bunch of 2008s, and 2012s. You can have a server selection policy that says, I don't want to install this DAC except on 2012. And it can actually go down to the version number and all that good stuff. They still deciding whether or not to carry that forward. And you can also have pre and post deployment scripts, because of course if you're banking an empty database, you might want to fill it up with data. Everybody good so far? Okay, how am I doing for time? 3301, okay, good, great. So again, in version 3.0 and 2.0, the things are almost completely different as far as the content goes. Now you're not supposed to care about that, but remember that in 2.0, this is where the backpack was added, and a backpack is DAC files plus data. Let me just show you the difference between 2.0 and 3.0. Again, this is why you don't put, you can consume a 2.0 DAC pack or backpack with 3.0 tools. You cannot emit a 2.0 backpack or DAC pack with 3.0 tools. Everybody okay? It's backward compatible, but not forward compatible. And you'll see why, where you don't even want to mess with this. So let's see here. We've got the DAC packs, and we've got 2.0. And if we unpack this with the unpacker, I think that's cute. I want to know why that happened. Right, there we go. Okay, now we have four files, and one's called DAC metadata logical object stream. Notice we didn't have that file with the brackets around it we had before. And if we look at the logical object stream and the physical object stream, they're two different files of XML that actually go by a set of XML schemas that you can see up here. Those XML schemas are published, and if I do 3.0, I should have kept it up. Sorry, let me just keep it up for comparison here. There we go. And that one, physical object stream, why not? Okay, and then we'll do one with 3.0. They're completely different schemas. So the idea is, again, they're backward compatible, but not forward compatible. DAC packs 3.0. Unpacked, yeah, that's fine. And there's the model.xml. Notice some of them are even different names. So this one goes by a different set of schemas, which is the DAC serialization 2012-02. So if you want to know what version of DAC pack you have, because you don't have them in nice directories like I do, then that's how you can tell, is look at one of the XML files and see where what the schemas are that they're going by. And these are actually published too if you, you know, somebody said, why don't you write a, XSLT transform to convert from version 3 to version 2? Yeah, you do that, right? I'm not an XSLT aficionado anymore. Used to do XSLT, no, not anymore. Everybody okay with that? They're different file names, they're different schemas, they have different names for the same thing. Okay. Supported versions. So I put 2000 and no over here, and the reason why is that DAC 1.0, when you installed it in SQL Server Management Studio 2008 Release 2, did support actually extracting a DAC from 2.0. I'm sorry, from SQL 2000 database. So if you really, really need to get one, you have to install the 2008 Release 2 Management Studio tools on a machine, extract a DAC pack from 2000, and then you can use that DAC pack with one of the tools that consume it. Remember, they're downward compatible, so version 3 will consume it. Everybody okay with that? The rest of them is, notice that the most important part here is the tools. The tools that support DAC start with 2008 Release 2. So although they support all these versions of the database, you still have to be working with the tools from 2008 Release 2, and I would suggest you don't even go there. Work with the tools for 2012, and that'll work just fine. I say that because most database administrators also have an aversion to trying to put more than one version of the tools on the same box. So put it on a box that you have control of that's not the database box. Everybody good with that? Get the version idea? Okay, good. And they have to be certain versions of these databases to support the DAC, but the biggest deal is you have to have the right tools. Okay. Working with DAC, we saw schema compare. Everybody happy with schema compare? The schema compare GUI looks much better now. And again, it's used by SSDT, and SSDT is available as a free download. If you don't like GUI, right, because there are people that don't like GUI, maybe one or two of them, there's a command line tool called SQL Package. And so if you're working with Server Core and you can't install the whole thing, you can install SQL Package. SQL Package can do everything that SSDT can do. However, SQL Package cannot consume or emit backpacks. Everybody okay with that? Should I show you SQL Package? Yes, Bob, why not? Okay, so here's SQL Package. And I think there might be somebody here from the DACPAC team, but there we go. Come on, Bob. Oh, by the way, SQL Package is installed, but it's not in the path. So the first thing you do once you install the tools is that you actually find out where SQL Package is and put it in the path. So you can do this, because you really don't want to mess with the path. There we go, and we'll do SQL Package /?. By the way, in PowerShell, it's minus everything. Okay, there we go. So /?  actually gets me all the stuff that you can do with it. And notice you can have variables in there if you don't want your databases restored and you want to the same devices, you know, the default devices. You can actually put SQL command variables in there, and all database administrators know how to use SQL command mode and SQL command variables. And you can use SQL command variables with this stuff. And again, this utility can do everything that the SSDT tools can do. Notice there's these actions here. And so I want to show you, remember we went through the SSMS stuff and it didn't seem to have many options. Let me show you the options for deploy. And notice it'll give you something called a drift report. Let me guess what that is. Is that related to schema compare? Well, you have to run it and find out, but I bet it is, right? Okay, so let's actually do the things for, say, extract. So if I look at the things for extract, so SQL package, and then this is action extract, there we go, and then minus help, if I did that right. There's all of the possible, you know, options you have in here for extracting. So do I want to overwrite the files? Do I want the source database name to be? Do I want to use an encrypted connection? Anything that you could possibly want is in these. And for deploy, there's even more of these things. Do I want to deploy the permissions? Do I want to employ the logins? Do I want to deploy other things? So basically, this is a tool. This is the tool with all the options in it. This and SQL Server Data Tools. Everybody okay with that? All right, great. So if you want to work with the DAC, wow, I have 26 minutes left to go. I ought to do something cool then. If you want to work with the DAC is actually encapsulated in a set of libraries. So since they said I couldn't demo everything in 90 minutes or 75 minutes, I want to show you some things about the set of libraries. Now, the set of libraries that came with DAC 1.0 and DAC 2.0 were actually encapsulated in something called microsoft.sqlserver.management.dac.dll. Notice the .management stuff. They were actually part of SQL Server Management. And this encapsulation of libraries was actually exposed by the PowerShell provider in SQL Server. How many people use the PowerShell provider for SQL Server? No PowerShell people? I must hang out with the wrong people. Oh, Darren's here. Yeah, okay, cool. So basically, this is the library that you use if you're using 1.0 or 2.0, but you don't want to use that library if you're using 3.0. So the 3.0 library is actually microsoft.sqlserver.dac.dll. This is the refactoring of this DLL. And the reason why I'm telling you all this is because the objects have completely changed. So if you wrote scripts for 2.0, you're going to have to tweak them a little bit with 3.0. Actually, the 3.0 APIs, though, are much easier to deal with than the 2.0 APIs. Everybody okay with that? Which also, I don't want anybody to get any surprises, right? And since I have this extra time here, here we go. If I go into the PowerShell provider, so let me bring up PowerShell, and I'll bring up PowerShell for SQL Server. This is just regular PowerShell, so I can say import, import module, and then SQL PS, and it takes a while to import SQL PS. There we go. Import module SQL PS will import the provider into, this is SQL 2012, and PowerShell version 2. We do everything in modules now. There we go. Come on. There's a lot to import. There we go. And it says some of the verbs they use weren't right, so fine. I can actually do a directory here from SQL Server, and I notice this thing called the DAC. This is the version 2 DAC. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, the version 2 DAC is .NET 3.5. That's not the one we want to use now. The version 3.0 DAC is .NET 4. Everybody okay so far? It is not possible, or it is possible, but is not supported, to use PowerShell version 2 with .NET 4 libraries. So I have a config file for people that want to do that. And when you actually get down to DAC over here, it's trying to look for the new version of the old libraries, which doesn't exist. So when you do a CD here, it eventually says, I can't load this. Oh, ZMV04 wouldn't help because my machine is named ZMV03. It'll actually say that it can't load that library. So the idea is you don't really want to do it that way, and I'll show you how to do it when everything comes up, all right? Because the idea is if you do something once and it doesn't work the first time, you go, oh, maybe that's not for me. So I just want to show you where the, okay, let's do, yeah, I know, I can't connect to SQL Server. You finished? No, you're not finished yet. That's not happy. Don't type in the wrong name of the directory or the machine. It's still looking for it out on the network, so let's do that one more time. Oh, come on. There we go. All right, so now we'll import module SQL PS. So not everybody uses PowerShell yet? Wow, okay. So as it's importing, what I want to show you is the error that you get. And again, it says can't load DAC module for version 4, and of course now you know why. So CD to the DAC. Okay, now we'll do a directory, and we'll do CDV to ZMV03. That's the name of my machine. Don't type the wrong name. You get the 30-second timeout. That's fine. And then, oh, cannot load this assembly. Everybody okay with that? That's why that shows up. Don't go there. In fact, it's interesting because SQL Server Management Studio and SMO have a fairly tight connection. And if you remember DAX from SQL Server 2008 Release 2, you might remember that there was this little folder in Management Studio. There we go. Folder under the Management tab right down here. They used to say DAX. And notice that folder isn't there anymore. So you could probably guess that what produced the folder is the same thing that produced the PowerShell directory. And you would be right. Everybody okay with that? We will load up the DAC manually because I have a config file for 4.0. Everybody good with that so far? Don't show them that, Bob. Yeah, I just don't want anybody to fail and be upset, right? Okay, so we've got one for 3.0 and one for before 3.0. Notice the one for 3.0 doesn't have as a prerequisite what? SMO. This does not depend on SMO. Everybody aware of what SMO is? The library they use to build Management Studio. Some people call this the SQL Server PowerShell library, but it's really not. It's the one they use for Management Studio. So in my initial deployment, I can provide an instance name for the deployment and a database name and set the publish options I want and publish a DAC pack. And basically, the database is configured, the options are configured, and the database options that you have in the database are defined by the package. So now that I've done everything else, let me do an initial deployment before I get to my PowerShell script, because I do have 20 minutes. Let's do a deployment to SQL Azure instead. And this is kind of a cool way. So let's, first of all, because everybody likes Management Studio here, let's take Management Studio, and we'll deploy Management Studio to SQL Azure. So this is Pub's DAC right here. And the reason why I made Pub's DAC, by the way, is that SQL Azure does not like tables without primary keys, and the Pub's table doesn't have primary keys on a couple of the tables. So I fixed that. and I called it PubStack. Okay, so we'll do that, and the tasks would be what? The task would actually be, where is published to Azure? Goodness, deploy database to SQL Azure, right there. Notice that the verbs are not always the same as you see in the GUI, but there we go, deploy database to SQL Azure. So here we go, and now it says, where do you want to put the temporary backpack file? Deploy is actually backpack at all. Okay, so we'll do that. And we'll connect to SQL Azure, good. And this will be one of my SQL Azure instances. How about that one? Okay, good. Notice I have the password programmed in, thank goodness, there we go. And we're right there. Remember, this has to be a new database, and go. There, and so it's deploying things, and now it's making up a deployment scheme that is actually going to copy things in. Everybody okay? So I can take a database from SQL Server and move it to Azure that easily. Now, as it's doing this, because its deployment plan might be fairly complicated, the other thing that we can do is actually publish the thing to Azure, but I want to do that a different way. Everybody seen all the tools so far that there are? Are we done with this yet? Let's see. Okay. Yes, we're done. No, we're not done yet. He's still making up the, oh no, it is, operation complete, good. So I can connect to SQL Azure, there we go, and that was the same one I deployed it to, and you'll notice that that database is already there. There we go, it might take me a little bit longer. There we go, good, not that much longer. And by the way, there's the PubStack database right there, and let's go to the PubStack database and do my favorite command in SQL Server, which is what? Select star from authors, of course. What else can you do? Right, I know it should be DBO authors, right? And it's right there. Everybody okay? That was as easy as you can publish to Azure, as long as you have the subset of objects that Azure allows. Good. And I could do the same thing from Azure. So now I'm connected to Azure. Let me connect to an Azure database. There we go. It's thinking about it. There we go. Connect to an Azure database in SQL Server Management Studio. Come on, are you gonna do that? And we can either deploy the data to your application or import a data to your application from that. Nope, there we go. Okay, for tasks, we have export data to your application. And export will do what? Export will make me a backpack. So what's interesting about this, and I don't know if you've seen this in the tool yet, is that when you say make me a backpack, it says, how about I save to Windows Azure Storage? And you go, that's nice, it wants a storage account, and then it wants a container. And actually, if you connect this way through the storage account, so there's my Windows Azure storage account, it actually comes up as a node in Management Studio Object Explorer, which is kind of weird, but it does do that when it gets around to it. I wonder if everybody is doing Azure demos right now. Okay, we'll let that go for a while. Right, and so what you can do is you can actually put out a backpack to Windows Azure storage. There we go. And it'll have a set of containers, which really are directories. And so I have, amazingly enough, a container for backpacks and one for DACPacks. So we can put it into the backpacks directory, and the file name would be pubs.dacpack. And what that does is make up a URL and then copy the file there. So great, it's out there in Windows Azure Storage. The same guy, the next time he wanted to give me a copy of the database, just gave me a URL, made it public, and I can go and get my own backpack. And it's right there. And what I mean by, that's the way I discovered it, but you can also go in Object Explorer with Connect, and notice you can connect to Database Engine Analysis Services, and notice at the bottom it says Azure Storage. So you can actually connect to this through Management Studio. So how many people knew that that existed? I didn't know that that existed until I stumbled upon it one day when I was looking for this lecture. Okay, great. So that's the initial deployment, and you can do that with a DACPack, or you can have a backpack if you'd like to from SSMS. Registering, again, registering requires some permissions, and managing data to your applications, there's entries made for MSDB, and you saw those entries. In, let's see if I can make this work this time. This is risky because I'm doing the same demo again that failed before, but let me connect to, there we go. Where was that other script I had there? That was here, here, and here. Okay, there we go, and we'll do this script again. And what I want to do is in this time, and notice that I believe it'll do this by default, it's connected to, there we go, yeah, it's connected to Azure database. So now I can use master, and let me see if I can get both those tables. Oh, right, use is not supported by Azure, so let's go use, oh, it's good, it's already in master, we're happy. Okay, we connected back up again, lovely. Okay, so now we'll go do that, And that should get me the information. Notice I've messed around a lot with Azure and DAC. And then let's see all the history information, Bob. There we go. So notice that this history information will tell you what I did with respect to the DAC and that particular database. So I deployed the objects, I created the database, I created the objects, I registered the database as a DAC, and so forth. Now I can actually do the join. See, so did I save myself with that? What's that called? Demo redemption, right? There we go, for people that get the reference, right? There. So I can actually connect up with the specific database and that specific history for that database. Everybody good with that? Okay, great. Remember that modifying the database name will mess up that history. It's also not very good if you drop or delete the members from that history either. Right, and if you modify the database name, that means you can't mess with it through the DAC again. So, and there's no utilization reports in the SQL Server utility for that. You have to unregister it without dropping the database, then change the name, then register it back again as a DAC. But then you have all the old history, but not the, there's no coordination between the two. Okay, great. Upgrading. You guys already saw upgrading in Management Studio. You can also upgrade with SQL Server Data Tools. You can also upgrade with SQL Package. Database drift. So database drift is really your database compare, right? And it detects changes to a registered DAC since the last deployment and registration. That's great. I can do database compare. In fact, you have seen the GUI database compare. Let me get this up. Okay. Here's the compare. So we'll compare select source. Do I have a connection someplace? Yeah, we'll do this. And this is, oh goodness, pubs. Let me see what I did between pubs and pubs DAC pack. Okay, so there's pubs. And then we'll do a select target. And it has the same choices. And let's see if I can I find a DAC pack, Bob? Find it quick or look at the database. Okay, so there's documents, there's DAC packs. Actually, let me, this would be even more fun. It's the same database. Sorry, you're not supposed to do adventurous things in demos, okay? So I don't listen. So here's a version 2 DAC pack. There we go, for pubs 44. So let's compare pubs to pubs 44. And this is a version 2 DAC pack. But notice it should compare just fine. Okay, so where's my compare? There it is. And it'll actually make me a nice GUI-looking compare. But we're database administrators, Bob. Why did you do a GUI demo for us again? All right, well, while this is comparing, we'll go on to the, there we go. Oh, it doesn't like that. I can compare a source schema and a target schema and the differences between them. All right, now to make sure I didn't mess that up, let's do a version 3 DAC pack. That's interesting. All right, so let's do that. And there's a PUBS 2012 DAC pack. And let's see if it gets an error now. Okay, now it's working. Okay, so be careful with respect to versions of things, okay? Just that's why I spent so much time about versions. Somebody said, don't even mention the other versions. Yeah, unless you've used it before. And I asked how many people had used it before, and there was a lot of people. Everybody good? Suppose I want to do this off the command line. Well, you can't do it with SQL Package. They don't have a SQL Package thing for it, I don't think. But you can do it directly through the API. So we'll talk about generating a database drift report. DAFXX and SQL Azure. So they support the full surface area of SQL Azure. But right now, the Azure portal is still working at 2.0 version of the DAC pack and the backpack. I just want to show you really quickly the SQL portal. I've got 10 minutes left to go. So if I go up here with the Azure portal, one of the things that I can do with the Azure portal, he said, there we go, is if I'm connected to the right place in the portal, I can deploy a database. So let me deploy a database. And notice that this actually asks me for the name of a file on the local machine that's a DAC pack. And this wants a version 2 DAC pack today. So let me give it a version 2 DAC pack. There we go. And I submit this. And what it does is asynchronously submit a deploy. And then you can go back and look at the status of that deploy. There we go. Well, what did that complain about? I complained about something else. All right, let's try. Maybe it has things that aren't supported by Azure. So let me try that again. Submit that. All right, the portal isn't being good to me today. If I go into the old portal, he said, so let's go into, goodness, windows.azure.com. I can also do import and export. They're in the midst of upgrading the portal, as you could probably guess by all the Azure announcements that were made today. So now let's give it another tab. Are you not? There we go. That's the old portal. And if I go to the old portal and I look at my databases, he said, there we go. I can actually go into a subscription for, there we go, for SQL, and I can choose a database like PubSDAC, what a surprise, and notice that I have an import and export over here. So if I choose to export, I can actually tell it what the login is that I want to use, tell it what the password is that I want to use for SQL Azure, and then tell it what the new blob URL is. So I have to actually give that a blob URL. It turns out that now I have to have a utility that actually looks at the blob URL, and the one that I use is one by NewDesic. It's a public domain utility, or I'm sorry, shareware, or goodness, it's on CodePlex. Let's not get the terms for open source mixed up. People get upset. Okay, and basically this will connect to my storage. It's another way to connect to the same storage. And why I like this nicely is because I can get the URL for a thing that I already have. So let me, I think I can just double click on that. And there's the, see where it says absolute URI right up here? That's the absolute URI. So if I want to know what the URI should be, I can copy that in and change it a little bit. Everybody okay with that? So there's the new blob URL. And we'll call it something other than PubS 44. How about PubS 45? Yeah, I don't do a lot of testing, do I? And then it wants my access key in Azure. And so this isn't being recorded, right? Okay, good. So I have some place that actually has my access key, right? Because you can, I mean, the access key is huge, right? So it's not like you're going to memorize it now, but if this was actually being recorded, you could play the recording over and over again. There we go. So there's my access key. Right? It's like, yeah, memorize that now really quick. Okay. It's like, memorize that GUID, right? And what it does is actually submit a job that actually will come back. And you can look at the status of all your jobs you've done so far, and you have to log in to do that too. This is the REST API. And if you don't like doing the REST API that way, there's actually a public REST API, and there's a CodePlex project. Come on, Bob, type your password in. There's a CodePlex project that you can use to actually invoke the API in C-sharp or Java or whatever you'd like, because it's a REST API. Everybody okay with that? Great. So let's get to the PowerShell, Bob. We got 8 minutes left to go. Okay. Notice that this is completed and that one failed. Interesting. Okay. All right. So now if I have DACFX, how do I know what to do with it? Right. I can do this in the portal. I've already said that. So DAC 3.0 is the one that I want to use. That's fine. And in DAC 3.0, you can use it with all the DAC verbs. And in fact, what I wanted to show you was, so when I wanted to find the documentation for this, it wasn't around right away, and now it is. So before this, I used .NET Reflector to find the documentation. But right now, what you do is you instantiate a DAC package class. I'm sorry, a DAC, say that again. You instantiate a DAC services class. There's the DAC services class. Somebody said, well, why don't you just make this into a set of commandlets in a library, and I will, right? And then you have these particular methods on that class, like export backpack and export backpack there and extract, which will extract a DAC pack. Notice that for those people that are programmers or those people that are not, notice that tuple there. You can actually, when you extract, you can give it a name of a set of tables to extract. So you can extract a subset of table data with it. You don't have to extract the whole thing. You can't input a subset of tables. You can only extract a subset of tables. Everybody okay with that? Okay, good. And so what I did was I, for my last trick, made up a script in PowerShell that could do this. Now, you'll see why I'm doing what I'm doing when I get there. Let's just, I don't want the SQL PS one. Let's just bring this up just to prove that it does not use SMO, right? This does not load SMO by support. By default, it's vanilla PowerShell. However, I do have to have a powershell.exe.config file, which I will publish along with all the demos from this talk so that you can do this too. And because this is an amazingly long name, I'm actually going to use start demo. Everybody's used start demo in PowerShell, right? This is the way you do demos. And the guy that wrote PowerShell actually made this up so that, sorry, this is dac.txt, so that he had trouble typing and apparently I'm sorry, dac.ps1, let's do that. There we go. It could look like he was doing typing when he wasn't. When he went to actually do his demo before Bill Gates, he didn't want to make a mistake. And so if you do this, it even looks like you're typing. You can even control the typing speed, right? And this is the one that I didn't want to memorize, right? Add type, which is a way to load a .NET assembly, and then path, and then this is where this DLL lives on my machine. C program files x86, Microsoft SQL Server 110, DAC, bin, microsoft.sqlserver.dac. And know before you ask it, it isn't registered in the GAC. So you can't get it from there either, right? The global assembly cache. Everybody okay with that? I'll give you my script. All right, this is a .NET 4 DLL, and so if you do this without the .NET 4 config file, it won't work. But now it will, he said. Good for me. All right, now what I'm going to do is make a new object that's a DAC services object with a connection string. So I'm going to connect to the instance of SQL Server I want to use. Okay. Now, remember that when I was doing it in the GUI, it put all out all these nice events. And so PowerShell can emit events if you want to catch events. So this actually is just so that I can emit the events that shows what I'm doing. Remember how it said all the stuff that it was doing as it went along and had those nice green check marks until I made a mistake? And that's the way you can get this stuff in PowerShell. And basically, the action for this event is just to write it to the host, which is the command line. OK, fine. And it registered that event. And then this is how easy it is to extract a DAC pack from a database. Remember, I'm connected to a database, a specific database. And so this is d.extract. And then here's the name of my DAC pack. The name of my database is the second parameter. The third parameter is the name of the DAC pack project. That's fine. I always like them to be the same. And the third parameter is the version I want to give it. Everybody okay? This is just the same stuff we did with the GUI. So there we go, and it's waiting on things for a while. Okay, there we go. Notice I got all the messages that was going along, and notice it got a little ahead of my PowerShell thing. That's fine. And if I go out there, there will be when you do agree that there will be when I got 3 minutes left to go. Okay, I did not faking it. Oh, show it to him. All right, sorry. There, you make one mistake, and there we go. Pubs.dacpack. Everybody good? All right. Now, I might also want to export a backpack. So this is just d.export backpack. What a surprise, right? And it'll export a backpack too. Again, this is where you can put just the tables that you want to export, but I just did the simplest thing you could do with it. There it's getting all this stuff, and then finally it's done. Good. Okay, so there should be a backpack out there too. And if I look, there's a backpack right here at the bottom, right? Pubs.backpack. Okay. That was one line of code for each of those things. Right, how hard could it be? Now, to restore something, you actually have to have two lines of code. What a surprise. Right, and to restore it, you just have to use the DAC package class, static method called load, and that will actually load the DAC pack into memory. DAC is really just a metadata format, right? And so it'll load that from disk into memory. Great. Now I have it assigned to a variable. And then I just say variable.deploy, right? Why didn't you just make up the set of PowerShell commandlets? Yeah, I know. There's a friend of mine that says he's going to make up a set of PowerShell commandlets, and I didn't want to step on his toes, okay? So here's deploy. And just to prove that that's actually working, let's go and look at my database here. Now, again, this is because I'm taking all the defaults. Again, there's a DAC deploy options object. It's not like you can only do one thing with it. Okay, and we'll refresh that list of databases, and there it is, pubs new. And just to prove that, did I do that off of a backpack or a DAC pack, he said. Let's see. This is the backpack one. Okay, so this should have no data in it, right? This is the one where I'd restore a backpack. So that was two whole lines of code, right? And remember, I have to restore it to a different name because I can't restore a backpack over a database that already exists. There's an option for that, but I didn't use the option. And when we get there, we'll go into that particular database and do select star from authors just to show that I have the data in there. And actually, let's connect to this one first. Where is that? Let's roll over here. And DAC pubs new should have the metadata in it. So there's pubs new. And there's stuff, but there's no authors. And pubs DAC 2 should actually have the data in it by now. And there we go. Everybody okay? So how many total lines of code was that? 8? Okay. I could write 4 PowerShell commandlets and you can invoke them one at a time, right? Again, it's one more line of code to make up a new DAC deploy options object, and then you set the options you want. Great. That's how easy it is. Okay. So to conclude, he said, The DAC is a package format. It's undergone a lot of changes. It is now full fidelity. You should start with DAC version 3. It also includes a file format for backup and restore that is database independent. That's the best thing it does, right? That's called a backpack. I have 6 seconds left. Are there any questions? That's right. Time it so that there's no time for questions at all. Is there no questions? Everybody understands everything? Yes, sir. There is a tool to compare data in the original Visual Studio data tools, but that has not made it into SQL Server data tools yet. So yes, it's yet. They said they had. Remember, I'm not allowed to talk about futures, but I did use the word yet. So yeah. Yes, sir. One more question, and then actually I'll take the rest of the questions offline, but go ahead. Yeah, you can do anything that you want in PowerShell. That'll do a combination of all the backpack stuff and all the DAC pack stuff. And by the way, if you really want to know more about this, as I was going along, I wrote a 4-series blog entry on all this stuff, down to the intricate, outrageous detail, if that wasn't outrageous enough. So notice with the data tools, you can't do backpack stuff. With SQL Server Management Studio, you don't have all the options. So, and with SQL Package, you can't do backpack stuff. So really, the thing that encompasses everything is the library, and you can use the library to do all that stuff. We're good? Thank you for coming. I appreciate it.